Well, good morning, Merry Christmas. We're so glad you've joined us this morning as we just take a few moments, finish up this series that we've been talking about, all about the promise of Christmas, that Christmas is about a promise. Actually, there's lots of promises that get included with this, but it's really about this overall promise of God sending his son. So as we look at it today on this Christmas morning, you remember we've been talking about the who, and that who was who? It was Jesus. But more specifically, it started from the line of Abraham, when Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, and then we pick it up that it talks about what? The line of David. That Messiah would be from the line of David, that David's dynasty would never end, that that would continue. That was the who. Last week was all about the where. And the where was all about God's sovereignty. He chose Bethlehem. And then he talked about it 700 years beforehand. So that when the Magi showed up and said, where do we find the king of the Jews? The smart people of their day, they opened up and said, oh, you need to go to Bethlehem. How do we know that? Because in Bethlehem is where the Messiah is to be born. And so they went off, and they went off to Bethlehem. And it was kind of amazing that that's where it was. And it was all because of God's sovereignty. God put it all together to say, do you know I am sovereign over everything, and I will put all of it together in your life? And today's that question, and I love this question. I'm learning to love this question, maybe I should say. And the question is why? Why? Why the promises? Why is God doing what he is doing? And why all of this? And I think it's because of what needed to be conquered that we're going to talk about here in a moment with this promise of why. Why all these promises? Why did Jesus come? Why do we celebrate this thing called Christmas? Because we need a day. We need a day to get presents, right? We need to get a day to get together with family. We need a day for this. We need a day to bring trees into our houses and decorations all over the place. We need a day. We need a day. No. There's got to be something more important than that. Ask the why question. It's okay to ask the why. In fact, it will help you. It will give you a much richer and deeper faith when you ask that why question. So, what are we told about this Messiah, this coming king, this anointed one? So, in the promises of why, I'm going to start with the very first promise. And that was, what is the purpose of Messiah? Now, before I get to scripture, I want to quote somebody who's really, really smart. It doesn't say who wrote this. It just says it came out of Harvard Divinity School. And Harvard's the smartest people probably on the planet, so we'll just let them talk. They're going to talk about what is the purpose of the Messiah. And this is what they say. Some Jewish groups thought the Messiah would come as a military leader. Now, we can see that, right? There were certainly people in Jesus' own group that thought that. Here he comes. Here he comes to save the day and kick Rome out. We're going to be in charge, and this is going to be great. While others thought he would come in the form of a king in the line of David. Yeah, they got the line of David. That was good. They got that line. They got that sovereignty. They got that who. Some believe the Messiah would establish justice for all. Right? He has to deal with this thing. We've just had injustice for too long. While others believe that he would lead Israel to political ascendancy. We will be the rulers of the earth. No more the Greeks, the Persians, you know, Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar. Now we're in charge. And that's just what they thought. And this is what Harvard's talking about. But they're missing something huge here. Because there were other trains of thought. Just nobody talked about these. The Old Testament is full of these, and I'm going to give you a couple that talk about the why he came. Because something greater needed to be conquered. The Jews didn't need to be the next Babylon. They didn't need to be the next Rome. Something greater needed to be conquered. Something greater needed to be annihilated. It needed to be vanquished. Something greater. And watch all these promises that allude to this. This is the first one. It's called the first gospel. He, as it's promised, will strike your head and you will strike his heel. That's the very first one. Genesis 3, the fall just happened. And everything is just being doled out. And what are we told? There is the first promise. And it's the why. Well, we got to deal with this fallen nature. We got to deal with what was broken because of sin. So Genesis 3:15, the first gospel. If you fast forward, because I think one of the greatest passages is the passage in Isaiah called the suffering servant, Isaiah 53. You should read the whole chapter sometime. It will absolutely amaze you. But in this chapter, we are so told so much about the why that you would understand Messiah from this. Look at this. He was wounded because of our rebellious deeds. He was crushed because of our sins. Wait a minute. Are we talking about a political person here? Are we talking about being, you know, Israel being in charge? Are we talking about conquering the known world? No, he was wounded. Whoa, we don't want to talk about wounded. We don't want to talk about crushed. But the why, we were rebellious. We do our own things. We go our own way. Our sin, we constantly miss the mark of what God says is a good and whole life. I've come, Jesus says, to give you life. Life to the full. And we just keep missing that mark, sinning. That's all it means. We miss the mark constantly of God's standard. He endured the punishment that made us well. And because of his wounds, we have been healed. Again, they don't want these verses. These verses say wounded, broken. This is not good. Crushed. We don't want this. We want power. We want vanquished. Because they couldn't see that this had to happen in order for the kingdom. My servants will acquit many, for he carried their sins. Now, watch what Matthew does. Watch what Matthew does, because Matthew is all about a king. And the reason we know that is, look what he does in the first chapter. Look at ancestry.com. Here it is. Look what he's done. He's fulfilled all these things. He's in all the right lines. He's got all the right lineage. And then he begins to tell the story of Mary and Joseph. That Joseph is considering, I gotta put Mary away quietly. Holy Spirit, this has never happened before. Come on, you got to understand that. Joseph's like, this never happened before. That's a good story, Mary, but that's never happened before. So watch. When he had contemplated these things, because he's trying to figure out, Joseph is, what am I supposed to do? An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, said to him, Joseph, son of David. Oh, isn't that interesting? Was that his father's name? Nope. But he's in that line. Joseph, I need you to know what's going on here. This is big. This is big. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Don't be afraid. I want you to do this. And I know fear is going to tell you not to do it. Please do it. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. And you will give him the name Jesus. Now, this would have sounded Joseph a lot like Joshua. Because he will save his people from their sins. Isn't that fascinating? So Joseph gets in early on it, on the plan. The Messiah is not about conquering Rome. Messiah is not about conquering a known world. Messiah is not about political ascendancy and being the next king and Israel having a new king. He's come to save us from our sins. This all happened. So what was spoken by the Lord to the prophet would be fulfilled. This is also in Isaiah. Look, the virgin will conceive, give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, as I've done this whole time, well, that's interesting, but so what? Well, here's my question this morning on Christmas. You probably didn't think you'd get asked this question on Christmas morning, but I'll ask it. Who overrules you? Who calls the shots in your life? So when you have a decision to make, where do you go to? Who do you ask? What place do you go and look and say, I need some advice, what do I do? Who is your boss, Lord, commander, conductor of your life? Who is that? Who is that? Who rules you? There's a reason why that's an important question. Because it so gets to the why. Because most of Jesus' followers, most of the own people he came first to save, the Jews, to the Jew first and to the Gentile and all the world because of Jesus. See, they thought it was Rome. They thought it was Rome. Well, who rules you? Rome rules us. I mean, we got to do these things. We got to pay taxes. And we got to carry their stuff for a mile. And they've got all these rules. And they just love to push their thumb down on us. Rome rules us. And it shouldn't happen. God said it was sin. So I don't know what your answer was on who rules you. I wonder how many of you thought it was sin. Not a popular answer. Probably not something you were thinking about this morning. That sin rules us, but it does. And it loves to call the shots in our life. So whatever you filled in the blank in, I'm telling you, God says it's sin. So watch what Paul tells to the church in Colossae. This is great kingdom language. He has rescued us. It's his whole mission. He rescued us from the kingdom of darkness. Oh, we're in a kingdom. He says it's the kingdom of darkness, which we are ruled over by sin. Transferred us. Because of what he did on the cross and the empty tomb. He died for our sins and rose again for our salvation. So we then, when we put our trust in him, it's not up to me to save myself. It's not up to me to rule my own life. It is up to Jesus. And I make him the Lord of my life. And I ask him to be my Savior. He transfers me out of that kingdom into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Which makes sense, all the other language of Scripture. We are a son and daughter of the one true King. All this language we use about King and kingdom that you see all over Scripture that sometimes for us in 2022, Central Iowa doesn't make much sense. But this is what God came to do at Christmas. Rescue us from the kingdom of darkness and then transfer us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. It wasn't just rescue, good luck, have fun, I hope you figure it out. It's no. Ah, trust me, I have a great plan for your life. I have a great way to live. And I would so love for you to follow my purpose and my plan. See, God is about redeeming us. Purchasing us, buying us back. Because getting somebody out of the kingdom of darkness does not happen without a cost. There's a cost, and it costs Jesus' life to do that. He redeems us. He buys us. He purchases us out of that kingdom and puts us into the kingdom of his Son. His rule, his reign, his kingdom. The kingdom that we've talked about all the time, because this is hard. The already and the not yet. The already, the not yet. And all those promises started their fulfillment at Christmas. When Jesus was born and Joseph was told he will save his people from their sins. The new king is here. He has come, lived, died, rose again, all to redeem us and save us. What a better thing to do at Christmas than be welcomed into the kingdom of his son. That's why we constantly ask you during the Sermon on the Mount and other ones, what kingdom do you belong to? Because we got to think, am I in the kingdom of darkness, just following those things, living how I want to live? Because Jesus has come. And we don't have to live in that kingdom anymore. Because he died, rose again, and says, oh, I'd love to transfer you out of that kingdom of darkness into my kingdom. What a better thing to do at Christmas than to be invited into that kingdom, be welcomed into that kingdom as we celebrate the birth of a new king and all he came to come, all he came to do for us. It's amazing. It's amazing. So I would love to pray for you on this Christmas morning, that you would know what kingdom you're in, that there is no better day to be transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of Jesus than today on Christmas, the day he started everything by being born, years later going to a cross, rising again, all for our salvation, to purchase the ability to bring us out of one kingdom and into his. Let me pray for us today. Dear Heavenly Father, would you help us? It is so easy to think we are in your kingdom. But the truth is, sin rules and reigns. The kingdom of darkness is where we live. We follow its philosophies. We do whatever we want. Because the enemy whispers it's the only way to live. But if we would surrender our lives to the one true king, we would get transferred out of that kingdom, Jesus, into your kingdom. The kingdom that's already, but it's also not yet, where you have full rule and reign over the entire earth. We just, Father, on this Christmas, we thank you. Because your plan and your promises were amazing. We know we deserve none of this. And yet you came, did everything to secure our freedom and our future. May on this Christmas morning we offer all that to you and be transferred into your kingdom and see what difference you make in our hearts and lives. We thank you. We celebrate you on this Christmas. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We hope you have a Merry Christmas. You have a great season being with your family and your friends. Thank you for watching today and being a part of our Christmas celebration.